Chapter 1. Foundations. When Adam Brown woke up on March 17, 2010, he didn't know he would die that night in the Hindu Kush Mountains of Afghanistan. But he was ready. 7,000 miles away, in a suburb of Virginia Beach, his 10-year-old son, Nathan, was worried about him. From the moment he'd opened his eyes that morning, he felt something bad was going to happen to his daddy. But he kept it to himself, rolled out of bed, and got ready for school. It was St. Patrick's Day, and he made sure to wear something green so he wouldn't get pinched. On a previous deployment, Adam had written in his journal to both Nathan and Savannah, Nathan's 7-year-old sister, a letter they weren't meant to see unless the worst happened. "I'm not afraid of anything that might happen to me on this earth, because I know, no matter what, nothing can take my spirit from me. How much it pains me to think about not watching my boy excel in life or giving my little baby girl away in marriage. Buddy, I'll be there. You'll feel me there when you steal your first base, smash someone on the football field, make all A's. I'll be there for all of your achievements. But much more, buddy, I'll be there for every failure. Remember, I know tears. I know pain and disappointment. And I will be there for you with every drop. You cannot disappoint me. I understand." Adam Brown did understand what it meant to disappoint, to feel the shame he'd experienced on a hot, humid August afternoon years earlier when his parents had him arrested. "It's time for you to face what you've done," his father had told him in 1996, just before Adam was handcuffed and escorted to the back seat of the Garland County Sheriff's cruiser. When the deputy slammed the car door shut, Adam watched his mother's legs buckle, and as she collapsed, his dad caught her and held her tightly against him. She began to cry, and Adam knew he had broken her heart. That vision of his mother sobbing into his father's chest would haunt him for the rest of his life. But it also sparked the journey that defined who he would become. Officially known as a Chief Special Warfare Operator, SEAL, Adam Brown was one of the most respected special operations warriors in the U.S. Navy. He worked for the Naval Special Warfare Development Group, NSWDG. A.K.A. DevGru. Before May 2011, details about Adam's unit, popularly called SEAL Team 6, were neither confirmed nor commented on by the Pentagon and the White House. One night changed everything. The wave of publicity following Osama bin Laden's death thrust the little-known unit into the spotlight. When Adam's team deployed to Operation Enduring Freedom in March 2010, the SEALs were spread across Afghanistan to cover a range of responsibilities dictated to them by the generals and admirals in charge of strategic operations. Adam and part of his team were stationed at an assaulter's base in a remote corner of northern Afghanistan. This region along the Pakistan border was still, after nearly 8.5 years of the War on Terror, a safe haven for Afghan insurgents, foreign jihadists, and terrorist cells, often working in concert. It was a land of high-value targets. Raids in the region almost always resulted in fruitful intelligence, which led to further dismantling of the insurgency against the Afghan government and yielded more pieces to the puzzle that eventually revealed the whereabouts of bin Laden. Since late 2009, intelligence networks had been tracking a Kunar province Taliban leader, codenamed Objective Lake James, who had already taken credit for numerous deaths among coalition forces. The most recent intelligence confirmed that James planned to attack a U.S. Army battalion preparing to relocate from its current position adjacent to the Peck River Valley. The valley was a deadly piece of real estate where insurgents could strike coalition forces and then retreat into their mountain strongholds, villages and valleys whose inhabitants, in many cases,